Scripture reading this morning will be from 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 41 to 45. And the Philistine came on and drew near unto David, and the man that bare the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth, already but a fair countenance. And the Philistine said unto David, Am I a dog, that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, Come to me, I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air, and to the beast of the field. Then said David to the Philistine, Thou comest to me with the sword, and with the spear, and with the shield. But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of the host, the God of armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied.
I want to say, first of all, that I appreciate the confidence and the eldership here to even ask me to stand up and speak to you for a little while this morning. I hope that everything I have to say, first of all, is in accordance with God's word and that it's also edifying and strengthening. You know, when you get up and speak in front of people, it's a little bit nerve-wracking at times. It's one of those that sometimes I think the story, maybe I've shared this with you before, but it reminds me of the story of the little five-year-old boy who attended the assembly with his parents. And you know, after the assembly one day, his parents went home talking about the preacher that morning and talking about how poor the lesson was. And it just, you know, didn't go well at all. And they always had at that assembly the contribution afterwards, and he associated the contribution with how well the preacher did. So, you know, he came the next Sunday and walked up to the preacher and handed him a dollar bill. And the preacher said, Well, what's this for? And he said, Well, he said, it's all I have, but Mommy and Daddy said how poor you were. So wanted to give you all the money I had. So if I have anybody handing me money afterwards, then that's all you have to say. I appreciate, first of all, the prayer on my behalf. Again, I hope that something I have to say is edifying. I appreciate the scripture reading as well. Get an idea of the scripture reading, a little bit about what we're going to talk about this morning. The title of my lesson, if I give it a title, is In the Battle of Good versus Evil, What Kind of Weapon Am I? Or what kind of weapon are you? You see, there's a lot of weapons that you hear about in the world and you talk about. I remember when I was a child growing up, we'd play G.I. Joe, and you know, my brother and I and you know, any of the other kids playing say, you know, I want the bazooka, I want the laser gun, I want all these type of weapons. You hear of nuclear weapons, you hear of swords, you hear of spears, just all kinds of weapons throughout the years. I watched the other day on Modern Marvels, if that's a television show that you ever watch, and they were talking about ancient weapons. And that kind of thing. So it's amazing the evolution of weapons over the years and how they've come to where they are today. But when it comes down to weapons that we read about in the Bible, sometimes we get a little bit different story. As I said, when you look at this, we know we're talking about David and Goliath. And David and Goliath is a story that you hear that there's practically, even if they're non-Christians, everybody knows the story of David and Goliath. You hear that analogy all the time. You heard you know, back toward the beginning of the year, during bowl season of college football, you heard talking about when Boise State was playing Oklahoma. It's a David and Goliath story, and David slew Goliath. Boise State beat Oklahoma. You hear that analogy. You hear all kinds of analogies of the little man versus the big man, and can they take him down? I'm not going to go and read the entire story. It's several verses, obviously, here in 1 Samuel chapter 17. But what I want to do is, when we look at this story, look at some aspects of it that maybe aren't focused on as much. Maybe the aspects of not just, you know, good versus evil and the little man took down the big man, but what kind of weapons were used? What kind of weapon ended up in the downfall of Goliath? To give just a brief summary again, obviously you've got Goliath, a massive man. You know, they, according to the scriptures and scholars and all, probably 11 feet tall, and it gives some descriptions, pretty specific descriptions of this man. Huge individual, someone that scared the army of Israel. God's army here was scared by this man because he would go out and he would just issue a proclamation saying, send me one of yours, and whoever wins, we will be the servants of you if you win, or you'll be the servants of us, the Philistines, if you win. No one would take him up on it. Finally, here was David. Now, David wasn't a part of the army here. His older three brothers, says David, was the son of Jesse. And David's oldest three brothers were a part of this army. And at one point, Jesse sent David and said, you know, take this food to the army. Go and check on your brothers and come back and give me a report of what's going on. So David, probably excited to get away from the sheep, you know, probably a little bit boring compared to what he was used to. We're going to head to the army here. We're going to go check this out. So he heads that way and he hears Goliath and he hears of what's being said. And so he's saying, well, you know, who's going to do something about this? No one's going to do anything about it. We see David was upset because Goliath was defying, he was insulting the army of Israel, God's army. It upset David. He wanted to do something about it. So he did. He went into Saul and said, I'm going to take him on. And, you know, obviously no one was much of a believer in David. But Saul finally said, okay, here's my armor. David couldn't handle the armor of Saul. And it was too heavy. It wasn't tested, as we can read here. But David went, and he took his sling. It says he went and got five smooth stones out of the brook there. And he took that, and he faced Goliath. And obviously, as we know, one stone entered the forehead of Goliath, and Goliath fell. And so David slew Goliath. So again, great story. That's the summary. The part that I want to look at is, what weapon did David choose? Again, he chose five smooth stones. It was a smooth stone that took down David. Now, we hear, like I said, all these weapons, even the weapons of that time. There were swords, spears, and it talked about the size of even the weapons that Goliath had and the weight of the armor that Goliath used. David didn't go with that. He went with the smooth stone. And we might be thinking to ourselves, a smooth stone. If I'm in that shape, I'm going to be thinking, first of all, I want the sharpest tool, the sharpest weapon I can have, something that's going to reach the farthest so I can take on this giant. I wouldn't be thinking, oh, here's some smooth stones. Let me pick that up. I believe those smooth stones, I believe a smooth stone in this setting is something that God expects us to be. Now, if we look at the war, if you want to call it that, the battle of good and evil, between right and wrong in today's society, what kind of weapon are we? Are we something sharp? Are we something that can do destruction to all around us? Are we a smooth stone? What's amazing about a smooth stone is it can fly true. Why did he pick a smooth one? See, a smooth stone is probably going to be one that's more aerodynamic than a jagged one. I'd pick a jagged one thinking, hey, this is going to hurt the worst. You know, this can do some damage here. Let me get something really big and heavy. But a smooth stone is going to be a little bit lighter, but yet solid. It's going to be smooth, so it can fly straight. The aerodynamics are much better than what a jagged rock would have been. So he chose that. Again, probably thought it through a lot more than what I would have done. When we look at the smooth stone, we have to look at what made it smooth as well. It says that he got the rock out of a brook. Now, what happens to a rock in a brook, and if you've ever picked up rocks out of a river or where a river has been, they are smooth. It's because it's taken a lot of time and a lot of water, other debris, perhaps other rocks, but chipping away at the edges of that stone. And over time, the rough edges smooth away because of something that's actually abrasive. We think they're beautiful. You see these rocks, you can buy them at stores, and how smooth they are, how pretty they are. But it took time. And not that a rock can feel pain, but it wasn't easy for that rock to become smooth. Now, when we look at that, look at our lives. What can make us smooth? If we need to be a rock, if we need to be a smooth stone as a weapon in the fight for God, what can make us smooth? I think it's often the tribulations and trials that we go through. If you look at David, if you turn to verse 28 to 1 Samuel chapter 17, I want to look at several verses here that says that David, there was a lot more to this battle. There was a lot more to this story than just standing up in front of this giant and trying to take him on. In verse 28 and verse 29, it says, now Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spoke to the men, speaking of David. And Eliab's anger was kindled against David, and he said, why have you come down? And with whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know your presumption and the evil of your heart, for you have come down to see the battle. And David said, what have I done now? What was it not but a word? You see, here was David's own brother. This wasn't just the enemy. This wasn't, you know, just some stranger. It was David's own brother. He said, why are you here? I know your heart, and I know it's evil, basically. You're here for all the wrong reasons. He even said, what have you done with those few sheep? Now, maybe that few is a small word, but the way I kind of took that is that your job isn't even that important, but you're not going to stick with it. You don't have this huge flock that you're taking care of. You just have a few sheep. You know, we're here fighting battle. Why are you even here? This is family. How many times do we have family? How many times do we have maybe close people, fellow Christians, that kind of attack us, that doubt us, that say, I know your heart, make assumptions? You know, that wasn't why David was here. You know, he had come to do his father's bidding, but now he was sitting here saying, I need to defend God. Somebody's got to defend God here. Yet his own brother, his own family, took shots at him. See, maybe that's some of what smooths David out. Maybe that's some of what smooths us out, depending on our reaction to it. And that's where, again, comes to that weapon. When we're attacked, do we attack back? Or are we a smooth stone? Now, I'm not saying just taking it. I'm not saying not defending ourselves. If you go on through some of this, when Saul was talking to David, and he says, you know, you're not able to do this. If you go to verse 33, it says in verse 33 that Saul said to David, you are not able to go against the Philistine to fight with him, for you are but a youth, and he has been a man of war from his youth. So, okay, the family said, why are you even here? Belittled David. Now, here's Saul. Here's the leader. Here's the head of the army saying, you can't do this. David was doubted, wasn't he? Again, we're doubted oftentimes in our fight for Christ. But you see, David didn't just say, you're right. You know, my brother says I shouldn't be here, so you're saying I can't do it. I'm just going to head back to the sheep. You know, it was a good idea, but I'm going on. No, David didn't give up. But you see, what he didn't do as well is he didn't attack back. He didn't say, you guys don't know what you're talking about. I'm going to prove you wrong. That wasn't his attitude. Sometimes that's our attitude, isn't it? We're going to fight back. We're that jagged rock. We're going to use that sword. We're going to use a biting tongue. We're going to use harsh words to say, you're wrong, rather than maybe letting it smooth us out and letting an understanding that, hey, other people make mistakes just like I do. But David stood up for himself. He defended himself, but he did it with logic. He did it not out of emotion, out of hurt, and out of anger. He said, David said to Saul in verse 34, your servant used to keep sheep for his father. When there came a lion or a bear and took a lamb from the flock, I went after him and struck him and delivered it out of his mouth. And if he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and struck him and killed him. Your servant has struck down both lions and bears, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be like one of them, for he has defied the armies of the living God. So he defended himself, but he also gave his reasonings. He said, here's why I'm doing it. He says, he has defied the armies of the living God. That was his motivation. That's why David was doing this, not because his brother said, why are you here? You should be doing something else. Not because Saul said, you're not able to do this. He's doing it because Goliath defied the armies of his God. He did it for the right reasons. He was sticking to the right battle, not the wrong battle. He was also mocked by his enemies. He was made fun of. In the scriptures that were read just a little bit ago by Chase, it talks about what Goliath had to say to him. But also in verse 42, verse 42. He says, and when the Philistine looked and saw David, he disdained him, for he was a youth, ruddy and handsome in appearance. And the Philistine said to David, am I a dog that you come to me with sticks? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. So he's getting it from his family, he's getting doubted from the leadership, and he's getting cursed by his enemies. Hey, this is, you know, nothing that we haven't faced in our lives. It's a whole lot more than we face if you look at the specifics. But from an analogy standpoint, we hear it. We get struggles from our family, from our loved ones, sometimes people that love us the most and that we love the most. We hear it from those in authority oftentimes. And I'm not saying from the eldership and authority in the church, but people of leadership at work, perhaps. They give you a hard time when you're trying to do what's right or try to force you to do things that you shouldn't do. We hear it from our enemies, don't we, when they attack us. Again, did David give up? Did he say, you know, I'm going back to the sheep. Good luck in this fight. No, he went forward with it, but he did it for the right reasons. In verse 36, It says, your servant, again, has struck down the bears and the lions, and I will take on the Philistine because he defied the living God, his living God. Verse 45 and 47, it says, David said to Philistine, you come to me with a sword and with a spear, talking about the weapons that Goliath was going to use, and with a javelin. But I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hands, and I will strike you down and cut off your head. And I will give the dead bodies of the host of the Philistine this day to the birds of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Talk about confidence. When all these people were downing him, belittling him, he still had confidence. He still knew that God was with him. I encourage us, when we're down, when people are chipping away at all the jagged edges, don't lose confidence, but also don't attack back. You know, use the right tools, use the right weapons, defend yourself. Oftentimes, again, don't just take abuse. I'm not saying that at all, but be confident that you have God on your side. Be confident in doing what's right. Don't just cave when people say you can't do it, when people say you're doing the wrong thing. If you're doing the right thing, if you're doing God's will, keep doing it. Keep your confidence and keep moving forward. Again, how do we react? Do we think the worst of people when they give us criticism? Do we think and attack back and retaliate with harsh words? Basically, is God going to believe our actions and be behind our actions just as he was the actions of David? You see, God never left David. God saw him through to the end. David knew he would. When we look at our actions, when we look at the weapon or the actions that we're taking, is God behind us? Is he going to support us? Do we think he would be happy with how we are moving forward in the fight or the battle that we might be looking at? You see, as I said, getting rid of the rough edges and becoming a smooth stone is not painless, and it often takes a lot of time. That's what we need to remember when we're looking at other people as well. You know, we might be having our rough edges smoothed down, but so is everybody else. I'm going to make mistakes. And oftentimes I want to say to everybody else, hey, look, I'm human. I'm going to make mistakes. I'm going to sin occasionally. I'm going to wrong you. But yet we don't give that same consideration to the person that's doing us. I make mistakes, but you shouldn't. I'm upset with you because you've done me wrong, without stopping to think that I make mistakes too. I'm going to bite back, but yet if someone bites back at me, they're wrong. They're treating me unfairly. We need to be careful and understand that we're all in the same boat here. And it takes time. As I said, those rocks in that brook, in the rivers, they don't smooth out immediately. You can't throw a jagged rock and come back the next day and it's going to be smooth once it's been in that river. When we're new Christians, hopefully we're growing each day and becoming more mature, becoming more of a smooth stone. But it doesn't happen right off. Remember that about each other. And give the benefit of the doubt and help that person grow if they've wronged you. And vice versa, help me grow if I've wronged you. Not by ignoring it, but by saying, look, here's my issue. We can grow and we can all become smoother stones. Looking in verse 49, it says, and David put his hand in his bag and took out a stone and slung it and struck the Philistine on his forehead. The stone sank into his forehead and he fell on his face to the ground. One stone, one smooth stone, took down a giant. What is God doing through us? We're going to make much more of an impression, a positive impression in this life to our fellow Christians, to the world out there, as one smooth stone than we'll ever make as a jagged rock. We'll make more of an impression as a smooth stone than I ever will wielding a sword and with harsh and biting words. We'll make more of an impression by being confident that God is behind us and looking to his word and moving forward. But you see, the amazing thing about this stone is that in the end, it wasn't the stone at all. It took a smooth stone, but it took God behind the stone. See, in verse 46, again, reading that as we've already read, this day the Lord will deliver you into my hand. David did not lose fact that it wasn't his power. He did not lose sight of the fact that it wasn't his power. It wasn't the strength of David. It wasn't that smooth stone. It was the Lord. It was God that was behind the stone that caused Goliath to fall. When we go through this life, if we are a smooth stone and we become smoother and try to be that weapon that God would have us use, we need to remember it's not us at all. when we do good, we need to be doing it for the right reason, not for our glory, not to say, look what I've done, but to say, look what God's done through me. Maybe we are a smooth stone. Maybe we need to become smoother. But no matter how smooth we get, it's God that works through us. And that is where the power comes from. David slew Goliath. He took down a giant. We've got a giant in this nation today. We have a giant in the world today, and that giant is Satan. It sometimes seems impossible to have an impact. But as we move forward as individuals, as a congregation here in Goshen, as Christians throughout the world, we can be that smooth stone that can have an impact on this world. Chip by chip, we can make other stones smoother. But if we start wielding just our sword and the biggest weapon we have, sometimes we can do more damage to those around us than we can do good. That's all I have to say this morning. I hope it has been a beneficial lesson for each and every one of us. If there's anyone here right now that hasn't accepted Jesus, that hasn't accepted the plan of salvation, and started on that path of smoothing out your rough edges, then we offer an invitation. If there's people that have accepted that, but yet there's still some edges that you need the help of the congregation to help smooth out, we can help you with that too if you'll come forward as we stand and sing the invitation song.